For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, I'm telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that your Spirit speak to us today. That we hear and feel your words and that they are written upon our heart. And Lord, I pray that whether through me or in spite of me, it is truly your voice that we hear. Amen. It's been a bit of a busy week and weekend, has it not already? As you drive down the roads and you see the signs and you turn on the television and you see so many programs as this nation celebrates its 250th anniversary of declaring its freedom from what was perceived as tyranny of the time. We look back and we celebrate the freedom that we have been given in this nation, the freedom to be able to express our faith in ways in which it is not possible in all places around the world. We appreciate the freedom we have to be able to speak the truths that are upon our heart. We celebrate the freedoms that we are given and the opportunities that God has given us. And I pause there. They are the freedoms that God has given us. If we search through the scriptures in the very beginning chapters, there is one rule in which God gave. One rule. Thou shalt not eat from that tree. Everything else, you're free to enjoy. You're free to enjoy the creation that I have made and the trees and the birds of the air and the mammals and the fish. You're free to be a part of that, and I will walk with you, but you have an opportunity. I give you a rule, but you have the freedom to choose whether or not to follow that rule. And we all know how that turned out now, don't we? One rule, and we just couldn't keep that one. As we search through the scriptures, we find ourselves going, oh, if we can't find one rule, then let's have judges and leaders over us so that they can create a whole bunch more rules for us. That we can have the Levitical code, that we can go beyond those, that we can have the interpretation of those things. We can have the Ten Commandments. If we can't get one right, we're not going to get ten right now, are we? Because God has given us the freedom and the ability to do things. So the freedom that we celebrate on this 250th anniversary is not a freedom that's given by any form of government or any form of leadership. It's an expression of what God had ordained from the very beginning. But with freedom comes great responsibility. Tremendous responsibility of what we do with that. That's the place that the church should come in and rise up once again to express that the freedom that we celebrate is something that God gave us, and it comes with that great responsibility that we are to be peacemakers in this world, that we are commanded, not asked, commanded to love our neighbor in the same way in which we love God and love ourselves. That's what our responsibility and freedom is, to be able to express that in such a way that lifts everyone up instead of putting anyone down for any certain circumstance or any reason. That we look to the Word of God and we say, God, what would you require of me? To walk humbly beside our God in such a way that we become the expression of God to all the world. That is our responsibility. And I apologize. In the midst of transition, I meant to print something out, and I forgot to print it out. So I'm not playing a game on my phone. I want to make sure that I quote this correctly. You know, whenever the Americas, within the Declaration of Independence came out, dating back to 1775, when there was a little bit of turmoil and a little bit of information coming away, it came way to John Wesley, and John Wesley was opposed to the American Revolution. Now, he was very eloquent in the way that he expressed that, and basically he said that your request to be released from the taxes but and to not have representation, this is what you signed on for. That's what he was telling the early parts of that. And it got to a point where things got so rough for Methodist preachers in the Americas that he began to tell them, go to the rural areas and begin to preach. Don't go into the hotbeds of where things are at, because I just want you to lie low, because your responsibility isn't to any form of government. Your responsibility is to the souls of the people. So be where you can touch the souls of the people. But then there came a time where he realized that he needed to adjust his viewpoint. So he wrote a letter entitled "To the Methodist Preachers in North America," and offered them this advice. You were never in your lives in so critical a situation as you are in this time. It is your part to be peacemakers, to be loving and tender to all, but to addict yourselves to no party. In spite of all solicitations of rough and smooth words, and say not one word against one or the other side. Keep yourselves pure. Do all you can to help and soften all. But beware how you adapt another's jar. See that you act in full union with one another. This is the utmost consequence. Not only let there be no bitterness or anger, but no shyness or coldness between you. Mark all those that would set one of you against the other. Such will never be wanting. But give them no countenance. Rather ferret them out and drag them into open day. A word to the Methodist preachers in the Americas, at a point in time where the Declaration had been pronounced and the war had concluded, and Wesley looked over and saw across the pond that there was still something in turmoil. It wasn't about achieving some great goal. It was about one thinking they were better than the other. And the jar that he was talking about was the jargon of the day. The rhetoric of the day. Don't subscribe yourselves to the rhetoric of the day. You already have the word to which you're to subscribe yourself. And it says be peacemakers and to love one another and to hold each other in countenance and to lift up and support and care and nurture. And do not speak ill of someone else. That's what Wesley asked of his preachers. And if you look at that, the opening words of that, there'll never come such a day critical as this. And I think that we are close to being in that same type of condition in 2026. 250 years after word was declared, where we have forgotten our sole responsibility of the church isn't to an allegiance of an ideology. It's to an allegiance to a God. allegiance to a God, if we think back to our lives, a God who had many disagreements with us personally, right? Is there anybody here that has not sinned? Yeah. If you find yourself in that case, then maybe God didn't have any critical analysis or wasn't offended by you, but we have all equally offended God along the way with what we've said, what we've done, the way we've behaved, and yet God loved us no matter what. No matter what, and entered into our lives and saw us worthy of leaving the 99 behind so that we can be brought back into the fold and embraced and cared for in the loving arms of God. And we are here today to say that we've accepted that invitation and we know how loved we are. And now God says, now it's your responsibility to make sure everybody knows of that love and how profound it is. And you know what's even more profound about the love? If you find someone that you are in disagreement with and you love them in spite of that disagreement, it'll stand at a higher level in their understanding and expectation than someone who thinks and acts and speaks just like you. Because that's what's expected, right? The unexpected is to love those that we may not agree with and to not speak ill of them. Reflecting back on Galatians, Paul found himself in the same place where one group was saying that you had to be circumcised, one group was saying you didn't have to be circumcised, and it all came down to one group saying you have to follow the law of the Old Testament, and Paul saying, but Christ is the new covenant that you should follow. It doesn't disregard the old covenant that was made, but it amplifies it and it brings it into fruition in our life today. And Paul's saying that we should succumb to that law that says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we are called to do. That's the responsibility that we all have with the freedom that we're given. To go out into the world and love, even when we disagree. To love even in the midst of debate. To lift one another up with our words instead of putting down with our words. To extend a hand and welcome into our circle and our community instead of ostracizing and separating. To live under only one label that we are all created in the image of God and no other label that exists. That's what we are asked to do. It's hard work. It's one of the reasons why it's called peacemakers, not peace beers, peacemakers, because we have to make it happen in a world that may want to resist it. But just imagine for a moment, if all the world could experience what we all experienced when we finally opened our eyes and realized how much God loved us, even in our brokenness. And if we can share that with one person today, and another tomorrow, and in all of our morrows, then the world will be transformed. That's our responsibility as the church, as followers in Christ, and lovers of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, empower us to set aside the noise of the day and to rest in your arms. And in that rest, equip us to go out into the world to make it all that you had hoped it could be. And that we could walk hand in hand with all of creation and with you. And that our steps and our actions are marked by expressions of love for each other. Help us live up to this opportunity and this tremendous responsibility. In your name we pray.